we have no opposing testimony.
No.
Anyone ready to move the bill?
Move the bill.
Senator Brockman moves.
House Bill 2055 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
House Bill 2055.
A.
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 A in gross, pardon.
Yes. To the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Brennaman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brinsky?
Aye.
Hill? Shoemaker?
Aye.
Brennaman?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. House Bill 2216.
That's the last in our trilogy having to do with correction industries. This increases the size of the Board of the Corrections Industries. It's at the request of the Governor's Task Force in Corrections Facilities Planning. It would include a representative of the Department of General Services on the board.
I think we did have some fairly extensive discussion about this, about why or how and what were they doing.
It's whatever they were doing, they weren't doing it very well.
Right, they weren't doing it enough, and they thought that this addition of the General Services representative would assist them in impacting the purchase of state goods. There are no amendments offered. Senator Brennaman has moved House Bill 2216 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Call the roll, please.
Brennaman?
Aye.
Brockman?
Aye.
Brinsky?
Aye.
Hill? Shoemaker?
Aye.
Brenner?
Aye.
Cohen?
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you. Now, let's move to 591, right? 591 is the county's jail capping bill. We do have we had amendments that were drafted by
Marion County. There are amendments, the latest version of which is, you'll find in your bill folder directly behind the SMAW, is the one with the blue band on the top, and that's been submitted by Paul Snyder today. And Mr. Snyder is here. Well, I've already got it. The one you're getting is the new one.
Oh, okay. Paul, do you want to come up and explain the amendments or bring whoever's with you on this one?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm Paul Snyder, representing Association of Oregon Counties. The amendments that you have before you are very similar to the ones that were drafted at the original hearing by Marion County. The committee will recall that at the time of the hearing on this bill, some concerns were raised, one by Dale Penn, District Attorney for Marion County, who was concerned about the phrase in the original amendment referring to sound correctional practices. The amendments that you have before you have deleted that phrase. A second concern was raised by Sheriff Burks from Lane County. His concern was that the amount of time between the time when the facility first becomes overcrowded and the time at which the implementation of the bill actually takes place is too long. He felt that 72 hours was too long a period after the original announcement, and so we reduced that to 48 hours. So that the net effect of the whole thing is that from beginning of the jail capacity crisis to the time that the mechanism takes effect is 72 hours post. Other than that, I don't think there are any substantive changes in the amendments that you have before you. We took out some redundancies that Senator Shoemaker pointed out about why is a county going to determine that it's going to make a determination and then decide whether or not it liked the determination. So we cleaned that up a little bit so it made more sense. Madam Chair, I could run through for the committee what the bill does now with those changes.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I know we talked about this briefly last time, but I'm still a little hazy on this.
Go ahead, please.
Why are we asking the Attorney General to make this decision when County Council is in the same position?
We're not anymore. We're no longer doing that. If you What you really, we have had amendments that were brought in by Marion County, Marion County Council. And actually, I guess what we need to do is work from this blue sheet that's just been handed to you, which is a new...
I see that. You've deleted the Attorney General and you've moved to District Attorney County. Okay, thanks.
Good question.
Senator Springer.
Paul, tell me, don't we have another provision in our law that requires at least once a year that the grand jury in each county take a look at or report on the condition of the jails in that county? And to what extent would that be, you know, compatible with this? Because I know in Multnomah County, these folks take that pretty seriously, and they make all kinds of recommendations about what they see right or wrong with the county correction system. And is there a way that these would dovetail or complement each other and not be at odds with one another?
Madam Chair, Senator Springer, I don't think they'd be in conflict with one another. What the grand jury finds at the time that it goes through the local correctional facility may or may not have anything to do with the capacity of it. It could have to do with any number of things that the grand jury finds there to be inappropriate, I suppose. I'm not aware of specifically what the measure is that the grand jury uses to make its report once that's completed, whether that relates to the constitutional capacity of the facility or probably any number of things regarding conditions of confinement. So I don't think they're at odds with one another.
Senator Grinsky.
Thank you.
The whole idea behind this bill was to see to it that we had some way of dealing with the court who is sentencing people without regard to the fact that the jail may be exceeding the capacity and subject them to a federal lawsuit, correct?
Madam Chair, Senator Grinsky, that's part of it. It has to do with everybody who's got any authority to place someone in the facility.
Okay.
So that would include law enforcement units, sheriff's departments, police departments,
but
justices.
Those people are still going to be doing their job just like they always do, but the buck stops with the judge who's sentencing, and that's why we're involving them in the process. So my question is, under Section 3, Subsection 1, we've given the judges the option to reject the recommendation and decline to adopt a limit on the number of inmates. If you give them that option, you're back to square one, aren't you?
But Madam Chair, Senator Grinsky, the reference to court in Section 3 is to the county court, which is really the Eastern Oregon version of the Board of County Commissioners.
Oh, right.
That should say then, if the court.
Senator Schumacher, let's... Do you agree? Did you hear? Paul, I want to make sure that Senator... Why don't you, for the record, Senator Schumacher...
Okay, I'm sorry.
...give your suggestion here so we can get...
Well, Section 4, Sub 1, instead of saying if a court or board, it should say if the court, referencing back to Section 2 where it talks about the county court. I think that would...
Madam Chair, Senator Schumacher, I think your point's well taken.
Maybe just say the county court, huh?
I think
it would be best to say the county court.
Yeah, you're right.
To avoid that problem. So that would be true in both Sections 3 and Sections 4, where the county court or board, or in Section 4, if a county court or board.
Additional comments, questions? I guess it would be my preference that we adopt these amendments today, and I'm not sure that the committee is comfortable in passing the bill out, or if you want to see them in LC form, I'd look to your wishes on that. I do want to make sure that we do need to move the bill along. There doesn't seem to be any controversy at all. We've made, I think, some good additions, and I'm happy to do whatever the committee wishes. Senator Brockman.
My only discomfiture is very mild. The last time we visited this, I kind of got the impression this was more of a feel-good bill, that It really didn't accomplish much of anything, and I would be very willing to support it if someone could convince me otherwise. I think this is just trying to get somebody off the hook. I mean, which is certainly valid, that's what we're all here for. But I don't know that it really accomplishes anything that you can really hang your hat on.
Well, the counties may feel otherwise.
Well, maybe, no, I know, but I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Please.
Madam Chair, I'd be glad to respond. Senator Brockman, the goal of the bill is to avoid the necessity of having to go to federal court to establish the capacity of the jail, and at the same time establish some kind of a mechanism to keep the population within the capacity.
Well, I understand that, Madam Chair, if I may proceed, but what makes you think that the federal court is going to just say, okay, well, those boys out in Oregon did something that's okay here, so they're all right, they can do whatever they doggone well please?
Madam Chair, Senator Brockman, I think if this were properly done, and I have no reason to believe it wouldn't be properly done, the people who are listed in Section 2 that would establish the capacity of the jail would do so based on their view of what the Constitution requires. And they would set the capacity in a way that would avoid the need for the civil rights lawyers to come in and say, you guys are over capacity, or you're not measuring up to the constitutional requirements, so I'm going to haul you into federal court and let the court decide. This is to avoid that whole problem, and at the same time have some assurance that the population will stay within the capacity.
Senator Brennan.
I'm fully in favor of this. I've got some counties that were subject to having the courts decide this with, when some guy was making a hobby of popping around all over the place and still pretty active, I'd guess, and he's been pretty much setting the policy for the jail overcrowding in a lot of counties around. This sets a framework then that a judge could say, yes, there is a framework for this procedure to occur, and it's not necessary to take a look at it. It seems, on the surface, I have to look at it, it's not very much, but I think it's probably a pretty important issue.
Well, I realize the importance of the issue. That was not my problem. Just, does this really do it?
Well, we've done at least the best we can for the second session around here to get this off. Yes, Senator Brennan moves the amendments to Senate Bill 591 as dated with the suggestions adding
yes.
The county court,
county court.
In Section 3, Section 4, Section 5. Any other places, Senator?
That's all the places I saw.
With the proposed amendments dated March 22nd, 1989, submitted by the AOC. Further discussion of the amendments. Objections? Hearing is so ordered. Okay, folks, pleasure.
I'll move the bill.
Great, thank you.
I think it's clear enough.
Then Senator Shoemaker moves Senate Bill 591 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. I would also say that we'll make sure that staff looks this over real well and the LC amendments to make sure that if there's anything gone awry from what we see on the clear sheet, two pages here, we will call it back to the committee and look at it again. Any further discussion?
Well, I think it's a good idea, and if the counties will move in and try to deal with the situation, it'll probably save some federal litigation. It may help deal with a problem that I'm sure the federal courts can't entirely deal with. And it does seem to me that the political dynamics within the county will tend to have them reaching probably pretty good decisions. There will be factions that will want to keep jails to their highest possible capacity and have the fewest possible releases, and there'll be other factions that will press the other way, and I think it probably will lead to some pretty good results.
Madam Chair.
Senator Grinsky.
I'd like to just mention that a lot of what this bill does can already be done if the county chooses to do so, but the important thing, and this is what I was driving at with my question, is that this will require the courts in that county to comply, whereas, as we found in the last work session, or hearing, the courts may or may not be complying, and so these county officials, although they may want to be in compliance with what they perceive the federal guidelines to be, they can't because they have no jurisdiction over the court. This will allow the court, will require the court to work with them to alleviate that problem, whether it be letting people out or the sentencing as well. So I think maybe that'll help your problem with it. It's more than just a feel-good bill. It actually does put some teeth into this whole idea.
Okay. Further comments? If you'll call the roll, please, Ms. Kowski.
Aye.
Brockman.
Aye.
Lenski.
Aye.
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 Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Okay, now we will move to Senate Bills 504, 505. Diane Luther, would you come up and see if you're going to make any amendments? Jack, which bill goes to Ways and Means?
Senate Bill 504 is at the request of the Mental Health Association. As Chair mentioned, Diane is here. There's a fiscal impact. It does go to Ways and Means. This is the one that requires the Department of Corrections to contract with people to identify prisoners with mental illness. It also requires that part of a parole plan include mental health treatment.
And at least for the moment, there has been no amendments offered. We had general support of the bill. It's a funding issue, I think.
Are there any amendments?
There's not any amendments in this one. There's some proposed amendments for the next one, which deals with the Board of Police Standards. Go ahead, ask your question.
No. My question is, I brought up in the last hearing about definitions for mentally ill. Are there any amendments proposed that define mentally ill?
Madam Chair and Senator Brenneman.
Your name?
Diane Luther with the Mental Health Association. We have not proposed amendments to define mental illness as such. Earlier in the bill, we asked the Department of Corrections to identify those people who have schizophrenia, manic depression, other kinds of psychotic disorders. And those are the type of people that we've identified should be followed up on in the prison, include mental health services in their parole plan, and then have access to the services as they get out of the prison and jail. The use of the word mentally ill is pretty clear. When we say mental illness, it's pretty clear what we mean. We're not necessarily talking about people who are somewhat depressed and use alcohol over much as a result. We're talking about people who have very serious, debilitating types of mental illnesses that need some community mental health services in the community. So we didn't feel a need to draft an amendment to further define that.
I guess the only comment, having participated in this, I remember your discussion about and other psychotic disorders, and we sort of talked around a little bit about that, but you suggested that could, Senator Brenneman, that could include almost everything, and probably it could. Mm-hmm. That was a suggestion from the Corrections Department. They might wish to have workups and parole plans for people who might have a diagnosis that went beyond the very narrow, any very narrow exclusive definition we might call up here. So I think it is probably self-limiting with respect to the amount of funding that's going to be provided ultimately for the Corrections Department to do this, but I'm happy to.
I have a quick question.
Senator Grinsky.
At the present time when someone is paroled, the parole officer, probation officer, whatever you want to call him, if they would see some of these things, they would do something with that. They would send the person to some state agency. Is that not the case, or what? What happens at the present time?
In our study of this issue, which took place over a period of more than a year and involved parole and probation officers, they made very clear to us and asked us very clearly, please get us some services for these people that we're having to supervise and get us some training so that we know how to deal with a schizophrenic that gets put on my caseload. I don't know what to do with them. I've tried calling county mental health, and I can't get them into services.
Why not?
The situation varies. varies from county to county, and some counties do a good job of coordinating mental health with corrections, and others do not. Mentally ill offenders, it's a systemic issue and an attitude issue. If you look at the mental health system in this state, the system which serves chronically mentally ill folks, seriously mentally ill folks, we're only providing enough funding to serve half of the indigent, chronically mentally ill folks that we have in our state. And so that's why you see so many people out on the street running around without access to services. Now, what that means is that if you've got a mental health center and you have long waiting lists of people, you tend to screen, and there is a tendency not to serve those clients that have criminal records, because they tend to be more difficult. And this is why we feel that we need to have a program that's targeted to those kinds of folks.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Question.
Senator Springer.
Just so I understand this, are we recommending a dollar amount down there in Section 5 on page 2?
As I understand it, the committee is not recommending a dollar amount as such.
What do you think we ought to have?
Okay, fair enough. We are asking the Ways and Means Committee for $1 million attached to this bill, and that is the fiscal note that the department has attached to the bill. That would fund 125 slots for individuals for the 2-year period of the biennium.
Another question, if I may.
Please.
If I understand this, you're talking about folks who have been committed to the custody of the Department of Corrections, people who have actually received a sentence and are going down to one of our state institutions.
Yes, sir.
How about the 80% of the people who are put on probation first or second or third or fourth time and are out in the community, presumably participating in other programs, maybe restitution, mm-hmm. but who may also have this need? How do we address the needs of that population?
Madam Chair and Senator Springer, the bill speaks to persons coming out of the prisons, coming out of the jails, and upon release upon probation. So this, we wrote it that way to allow a lot of flexibility so that the department anywhere along the line could identify someone that they think would be appropriate for this program.
No, it does not exclude probationers.
It includes people who are put on probation and have not served any jail time, and actually we know that a lot of probationers have served some jail time as a condition of their probation. But there are opportunities for these people to be identified within probation as well as in the jails and prisons.
Up the money.
Okay, appreciate that clarification. Mm-hmm. So if you're one of the, I don't want to say lucky 125, but if you happen to be a prisoner, you may be eligible for help. But if you're an everyday citizen, you're going to stand in line like everybody else to wait to get this help.
The mental health services that the department now provides all have very long waiting lists. I would expect that this program would have a long waiting list as well.
Okay. Thank you.
The pleasure of the, I guess I would move it to Ways and Means with the due pass so they have some opportunity to discuss that. Senator Brennan.
I believe there's a technical problem on the second page in an RS reference on line 32. That statute 179390 is in regards to appointment, suspension, removal, and salary of assistance officers, employees, and contract services.
We ever looked that up. Diane, would you have an idea of what was the meaningful reference as opposed to the
what appeared
inadvertent or undesirable reference that Senator Brennan has?
Madam Chair, I believe that was supposed to refer to the statute in which it is required to have a parole plan and requires the department to assist the person in developing their parole plan, as I understand it. But
That reference is several places in the bill, 179390. It's on the first page as well. Section.
Yeah, 179390 is amended to read.
Yeah, so.
Oh, I see, I see.
They've got the whole thing, just, I mean, they've got a copy of it right there, and it's not.
Madam Chair, I believe I can clarify this. I think the citation is correct. It refers to the amendment that's at the top of the page, 390, subparagraph four. And they're talking about the individual who is identified as having a mental illness pursuant to the top of the page there. So what they're saying is those people that are identified by that paragraph then must include mental health services in their parole plans. Did I make myself clear?
Well, is there presently a sub four of 179390?
At this time, there is not.
Okay.
So we're adding a four and then referring to it in the other amendment.
Okay, Senator Springer.
I kind of almost hate to raise this point, but.
Time to do it.
Yep. If Ways and Means hasn't asked, whenever we talk about distributing money and we don't have enough of it, the question is, how are we going to make the distribution? Is it going to be by county, per capita? I can tell you, my folks, and I got to speak for them, up in Multnomah County, kind of feel like they get the short end of the stick on the distribution of these funds if you go on a, quote, per capita basis, because unfortunately, our county's got a larger share of the big and the bad than it population figures might suggest. So how have you folks dealt with this idea of how these funds are going to be distributed? It, you know, either around the state, down the valley, east of the mountains, you name it.
Madam Chair and Senator Springer, Ways and Means has not come to any conclusion on this issue. We are not seeking to put these monies through any kind of formula that relates to CCA or anything. We believe that when you're talking about as few as 125 slots, you're really talking about probably two or three pilot programs. And we have not discussed just where those pilot programs should be, but I would suppose that the counties that have the biggest problem with these types of folks would want to make proposals to run such a program and would have the resources to make that proposal.
Who's going to be making that decision then? Somebody in the Department of Corrections?
It would be up to the Department of Corrections, sir. If it were up to me.
Getting close. Now we're not quite so close. Okay. It's a lot of, well, I think the latitude is obvious. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that this money ends up going where it's going to have the maximum impact and satisfy some sense of fairness, whatever that may mean.
Madam Chair and Senator Springer, I'm perfectly happy to go on the record supporting having such a program in the high-density urban areas of the state. But clearly, since I do not work for the state, I cannot commit on behalf of the state to spend the money in any particular direction.
Well, I think that's also something that this committee, if we have an interest in, if we think Ways and Means is seriously going to entertain this as part of their corrections budget look, that we have an obligation to go down and suggest to them how we think some of the community resources ought to be dealt with, including those to the rural areas who also don't have services.
Right. Well, how we interface with Ways and Means on this one, I guess, is, as you suggest, maybe it's up to us individually. I'd ask our witness to not hesitate to contact me when this thing gets down to Ways and Means and they're going to start talking about these issues.
Madam Chair.
Senator Gretzky.
In view of that, I liked this bill, but if you're going to advocate for the rural, the urban areas, I'm not particularly thrilled about that. These people have a big impact on a rural area, too, and although we may not have as many of them, it's just a severe problem. And I want some kind of assurance that that isn't the message that's coming out of here, that you're going to go and just advocate for the urban areas for this program.
Madam Chair and Senator Vanuski, I probably should have expanded a little bit on my earlier comment.
We spent 3 hours in trade.
We're going to fix you up. There are a lot of people down there.
Between the prison and...
Yeah, we're going to help you out a lot, buddy.
Why don't we send the two of them down together? Maybe we can get $2 million from Ways and Means to cover some of this, and then we'll all be ahead because we'll get some of those people better controlled on the street. Okay, I do have a motion to move Senate Bill 504 to Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation, given the considerations that we have and equitable, appropriate concern for allocation of who gets it. I think it's going to come really on the basis of either a pilot program or, in fact, on the basis of the people who could be most likely be helped with a individual planning program in transition.